Hello, and welcome to the East Anglian Theatre Podcast. Happy March, people. A great month. A month in which Caesar was stabbed by Brutus, Concord had its maiden flight, Justin Bieber was born, and of course, for my Welsh listeners, of which at last count there are precisely none, there is St. David's Day. Oh, and it's my birthday this month too. How could I forget? Anyway, welcome to another episode of the podcast that takes a glance behind the curtains at theatres in your region, that region specifically being Norfolk, Suffolk and Cambridgeshire. In every episode, I interview a guest or guests about the production they're involved in and ask them a little bit about themselves too, because I'm nosy. I usually give a shout out to a handful of upcoming shows too, but first, let me force myself upon you somewhat as I tell you a bit about what I've been up to in the world of theatre lately. What have you done? So firstly, I've had a fair few rehearsals for Pride and Prejudice, which I won't go into detail on because, spoiler alert, I'm just about to feature an interview with some of the team from that production. I've also been to watch a handful of shows too. Now I'll start with the oldest first, and a couple of weeks ago I watched CSODS, that's Cromer and Sheringham Operatic and Dramatic Society. I watched them in action as they hit the stage at Sheringham Little Theatre with their production of Communicating Doors by Alan Akeborn. I have to be honest, it certainly wasn't my favourite of the old comic master's works, and the pacing on this production was slowed by the constant scene changes, some of which were unavoidable, but some were definitely a directorial choice. Now they've got some decent performers among their number, with Lucy Connor being the standout in this show, but they look as though they could benefit from some younger people being involved in their plays to bring some energy. I know they tend to do one big musical show a year, and they never struggle for members in those productions, so it's a shame that their younger members don't seem to be interested in being part of their smaller scale shows. Anyway, CSOD's next production is the Dolly Parton musical 9 to 5, and it's on at the end of May at the Cromer Pavilion Theatre. After seeing that show, roughly a week later, I then caught Six at Norwich Theatre Royal. It's a show that, since its proper stage debut in Norwich back in 2018, needs no introduction to theatre fans, as it's gone stratospheric since then. It's now slicker and more polished than ever, with bigger production values compared to, 6 years ago. The performances were as sublime as you'd expect from a group of very accomplished actors and singers. Now, this is perhaps controversial, but what I'm going to question is the value that it offers audiences. Punters are paying premium ticket prices because the show is only on at top venues in major cities, but Six is still only a one-act show. I know it's supposed to be kind of a pop concert, but if you were paying full price for a gig that lasted little over an hour, you'd at least expect a support act. I don't know, maybe that's just me. But what do you guys think? Do you think you should be expected to pay top prices for a short-form performance? Let me know. Anyway, minor gripes aside, I really enjoyed myself. The next day, I then went to go and see some old friends in action as Ratcliffe Players opened their pantomime. They traditionally perform a show in the February half-term week, and they alternate each year between panto and musical. And after seeing them do The Wedding Singer last year, it was their turn to do a pantomime. This time, it was Alice in Wonderland, which was a wacky trip fest, to be honest. They do a great job there, and I always think that Ratcliffe are the kind of standard bearers for Village Hall Theatre. This time was no exception, and it was actually their youth contingent that impressed me most, helping to lift the musical numbers in particular with their precise and energetic choreography. Now that's not to denigrate the performances of the adults, which were very good. It's just sometimes when you watch a show of that ilk, you're like, ugh, here's the kids doing their little dance, and generally just slowing the whole show down. But that wasn't the case with this talented youth company. Anyway, their next production is looking like it's going to be Treasure Island, so do get in touch if you're interested in auditioning at ratcliffeflares.co.uk. And finally, I went to see Amy's View at the Sewell Barn in Norwich. That production is still ongoing and it continues until 9th of March. If you'd like to check out what I thought, there's a review on my website, eatpod.co.uk, that's eatpod.co.uk. And if you like the sound of it, you can get tickets via sewellbarn.org. So, quite the busy period for me, but what have you guys been up to? Have any shows you've seen recently left a lasting impression? Do feel free to get in touch with me to tell me. I'm very happy to hear from you, always. Now, despite already being busy, I'm only set to get busier as the rehearsals ramp up as we near the opening of Pride and Prejudice. And that moves me neatly on to section 2 of the episode, as I'm going to introduce you to 3 guests who are colleagues of mine on our production of the Jane Austen classic. Rather unusually for me, I introduced them during the interview, so I won't bother now. So, without further ado, let's listen to my chat with them, shall we? So I'm here with Sabrina Poole, Emma Smith and Barney Matley, all of whom are involved in the production of Pride and Prejudice at the Madam Market in Norwich to varying degrees. So firstly, Sabrina, can you explain all the roles that you fulfil in this production?
All the roles. Well, director, obviously, writer, adapter probably is the correct term, dance choreographer, set designer, and sound designer. There we go. That's all. That's all of them. That's all.
And Emma and Barney, you're merely actors. And so, Emma, firstly, your character is...
Lydia.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you said that, because every time I point at you and Kitty on stage, I'm never quite sure which one is which.
Yeah, that's fair.
And Barney?
I'm Mr. Collins.
Yeah, Barney is Mr. Collins. Wonderful Mr. Collins. Barney does it brilliantly.
I'm man four.
Oh, sorry, I'm man four.
Man four.
In the first dance.
So we're all very familiar with the story of Pride and Prejudice by now. But there are some people out there that haven't come across this story, of course. So would you mind explaining it for the listeners, please?
And they all look at me. So Pride and Prejudice is about the Bennett family. So Mr. and Mrs. Bennett have five girls. And unfortunately, Mr. Bennett's estate is entailed away, which means it only can pass to the male line. So the Bennett girls really must marry well in order to secure their futures, which is Mrs. Bennett's sole objective in life, is to have her girls well married. And into the neighbourhood enters Mr. Bingley, who is young, handsome, and in possession of a large fortune, and as we all know, must be in want of a wife. And he brings with him his friend Mr. Darcy. Now, Mr. Bingley is all charm and elegance and grace. Mr. Darcy, however, gets on the wrong side of everyone, which includes the second eldest of the Bennett girls, Lizzie. And the two end up meeting more than perhaps they think they would, and sparks start to fly.
A rather excellent and detailed description, no less than I would expect.
I mean, I could give you a chapter-by-chapter breakdown if you want, but
no.
Might be a long episode.
And Emma and Barney, your two characters, what do they contribute to the narrative?
Lydia causes a bit of trouble, really. Yeah, yeah. She's the youngest daughter, and I think she's trying to have a bit of fun in society, but maybe isn't quite following the rules, and ends up getting the family involved in a bit of a scandal, which has to be fixed, and ends up maybe bringing Darcy and Lizzie together.
I am Mr. Collins. I am the clergyman of the parish, and I am due to inherit Longbourn estate upon Mr. Bennett's death. So I turn up, and Mrs. Bennett is very keen for me to marry one of the girls. That is correct.
Yes, he's very keen to marry.
But the eldest is already taken, so I set my sights on Lizzie, who doesn't want anything to do with me, and I spend most of the first half chasing her around. And she keeps saying no, and I keep chasing her, until eventually I get the message. But he's a very comic character. And he's very ridiculous.
Yes. I think. And about the adaptation, Sabrina, there'll be plenty of Jane Austen fans out there. How do you think they'll react to the production? I mean, is it faithful to the novel?
It is. It is faithful. And to me, it's more faithful than a lot of the theatrical adaptations that I've read certainly have been. Austen, and I'm very, very passionate about this, but Austen is pigeonholed into this sort of polite romantic drama sort of thing, and it just doesn't, it's not what she is. She is a satirist, she is comedic, she's witty, and she's incredibly sharp. Like, if you read Pride and Prejudice, the novel, back, it is savage. Particularly, like, Mr. Bennett and Lizzie are quite sharp characters. So it's not all sort of nice and polite. So it is. It recaptures the humour. It is a very, if I do say so myself, it is a quite funny adaptation. And it's full of energy, and we have dancing, and we've got arguments, and there's passion. So I think they'll like it. There are certain bits. Alas, I do not have my Darcy coming on in a wet shirt, a la Colin Firth. I did try, but I couldn't quite make it work.
Too much of a health and safety hazard.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Well, we don't want people fainting in the audience.
And there's two parts to this question. Why did you want to adapt Pride and Prejudice for the stage? And for you as actors, Emma and Barney, why did you want to be in it?
So why did I want to adapt? So Pride and Prejudice is my favourite novel of all time. I first read it when I was 7, and then I have never stopped reading it. I wrote my dissertation on Jane Austen. I know, and I still love her after writing my undergraduate dissertation. I've always been obsessed with her, and I felt that she was being done an injustice in the world. And I wanted to remind people just how funny and how quick-witted she is. And thankfully, the Madam Market agreed to let me do it.
And so for you as actors, why did you want to be in it?
Well, I really liked the novel. I've watched the film and the series several times as well. Big fan of Pride and Prejudice. And worked with Sabrina before. I was keen to again. So, yeah.
Our parents are both thrilled that we're actually doing something nice this time.
Yeah, definitely.
Because the last two have been really dark.
Yeah. I think they'll be glad that I don't have to die or do anything horrible as this character.
No swearing in this one.
No.
What about you, Barney?
Well, firstly, it's Pride and Prejudice. And I love classic stories. I love Shakespeare, so it was something I was very interested in doing. When I read the cast list, my eyes fell upon a character that is flamboyant and ridiculous, and I thought, I want to do that. And also I really wanted to work with Sabrina in one of her shows. I've worked with her on the technical side before, and so it was wonderful. So that's why.
Why did you want to audition, Ray?
I can't turn the tables here. The interviewer does not become the interviewee. Well, yeah, I will answer that question. And for me, there's a few reasons. Firstly, it's nice to do a period piece that isn't an Agatha Christie or Noel Coward farce or something. I was also intrigued by the adaptation, given that you'd written it yourself. And also, given the size of the cast in this one, I knew the chances are I'd be working with a whole host of new people, which, for me, I always find refreshing. What it does, though, is bring me around to what was going to be my next question, and that was how you find working with new people.
We've got 19 people in this cast, and it's nice to have people that do know how you work and know the expectations in the room. But I love working with new people. I love discovering new people. But also I like working with people that I know in roles that they haven't done before necessarily, or stuff where I can push them and just exploring that dynamic. But I love getting new people in, and we had a great, you know, we had 73 people audition for this show. We had a huge amount of people, and it's really important and something I'm very, very passionate about to get new people in. But you do want that mix so that, you know, the old hag still gets some stuff and can sort of impart their knowledge and their stories, and we create that theatre family that we love so much.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, alongside the new guard, you've also got some very experienced actors in this one, and I think it's great the likes of, you know, Amanda and Peter Howell, whose faces are probably more familiar to audiences in North Norfolk, get the chance to wow the audiences here at the Madam Market.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're quite involved with the Madam Market, but they haven't been on stage for a while. And so it was nice to get them on stage. And then we have the likes of Susan Seddon, who is a theatre of royalty.
Lady Catherine.
which we must say with reverence. And mixing with, you know, our sort of newest people who sort of haven't been on stage hardly at all. Or, Emma's been on stage loads with me. But our UEA, obviously this is a partnership with UEA, and getting these guys out of UEA onto these stages and mixing with the theatre community is really good.
Okay, now this one's going to be a tough one. If you could bring another period piece of a similar ilk to the stage, or obviously be involved in it, which would it be?
I already have a very long list. Treasure Island. Dracula, all that's going to have to wait because we just did it at the Madam Market, but I'd like to have a go at Dracula.
Yeah,
I did Wuthering Heights a little while ago, but that wasn't my adaptation. Another Bronte. Tenant of Wildfell Hall is a very underrated Bronte, and I reckon I should give that one a go. Or maybe I should just do another Austen. I'll do all the Austens.
Yeah.
Be my specialty.
Well, that'd be rather ostentatious of you.
I'm sure there are adaptations out there, but I'm reading a Charles Dickens at the moment. I'm actually reading Hard Times, But my favourite Dickens is Great Expectations, and I would love to somehow be involved in an adaptation of that.
Mm, yeah. No offence to Pride and Prejudice, but it's all lovely, isn't it?
Mm, no, it is.
I do have a real affection for a bleak period piece.
Well, Bleak House, which has spontaneous human combustion in it, that would be a challenge to put on any stage, I think. Moving on.
Or maybe something where, you know, someone dies of consumption or something like that.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Tenet and Wildfell Hall, they do.
The bad man does. He learns to repent and then he dies.
There's a great Gothic novel called Uncle Silas, which is about... It's a very sort of old Gothic story about someone who's on her own in a huge castle and she's got an evil uncle. And I think adapting that for the stage would be like adapting Dracula for the stage. It would need the right approach. That's
I tell you what, talking of vampire ones, Carmilla, which is the original vampire story, with vague lesbian undertones, would be a great one. That predated Dracula by 50 years. Written by a Sheridan Le Fanu, who's a female writer. That's why you've never heard of it.
Okay. And back to Pride and Prejudice. And for you, what is your highlight from the show? And I don't mean, you know, something you think audiences will enjoy in particular. I mean your personal highlight.
I mean, I'm very fond of the dances. Like, you guys do a fabulous job with them. And they were quite ambitious. A plan. I could have just left them out and we could have just done talking, but I wanted to have them in, and you guys took to them. You didn't run away. And I think they are going to look really cool.
Yeah, I saw the dancers on the company Facebook page the other day, and yeah, I was really pleasantly surprised by how good they look. And I think they'll look even better in costume.
Well, yes, exactly.
I'm really excited to do the dancers in costume.
Yes.
I think that'll be really fun.
You're just going with the dancers.
Oh, sorry, no, I was agreeing with Emma. I do enjoy the dancers. I enjoy prattling about as Mr. Collins. I do enjoy the proposal scene because it's so awkward and it's so funny. And Marion does such a great job of turning me down multiple times. It's a gift. It's a gift, that scene. And I get to be on my own with just the two of us on stage, which in such a big show like this doesn't happen very often, so I really enjoyed that scene. Thank you.
You're welcome.
How about you, Emma?
Yeah, I mean, I think similar to you, I think it's actually been nice to work in like a big cast of people with a lot of people I hadn't worked with before. Because obviously a few are from UEA, but not actually people in my year that I would have met before and gotten to work with. And a lot of people from the Madder Market that I've not done a show here since I was like 12, so it's actually really nice to just meet some different people in Norwich Theatre.
When was the last time you did a show here, Barney?
It was 2010, I'm going to say, or 2011. It was Measure for Measure, and I was Pompey Bum, who is basically a pimp, and that was directed by the late Tim Seeley, and it was a modern production, and I really enjoyed it. But then I had young kids, so I couldn't act for many years.
Yeah, I mean, other than Yippee-ki-yay, which I did here last year, this is the first in-house production I've done at the Madder Market since Towards Zero.
Oh, which I stage managed. Yeah. First time I met Ray, doing your Scottish accent.
Right, so forget the selfish personal highlights. What do you think audiences will most enjoy about Pride and Prejudice?
There are three proposal scenes in this play, and I think they're going to like those because they are, the thing is, they're funny, they are angry, and they are emotionally challenged. They vary between three of them, and I think that that's where the sort of emotion comes out, and the recognisable bits are going to be, they're going to like. I've left them in there. Well, and Susan said it, I think they're just going to... Susan will walk in and they'll just applaud, I think.
As they should.
I should demand the audience stand up and applaud Susan as soon as she enters.
Or a trumpet fanfare just materialises from nowhere.
Well, it's why you all have to bow to her.
Yeah, I think they really enjoy the characters. I think the first thing I thought when we did a read-through for it was how well cast it was. I just thought it was very everyone was very well suited to the characters they have. And I think as the characters have just grown as we've gone along, I think it's a really good cast and good like family dynamics for the main family and for the love interest. I just think it's a good show to watch for the characters and the characters' journeys.
Yeah, no one's asked me, but I'd echo that too. You know, a month into rehearsals, and it's been great to see people's characters move on and develop so much in such a short space of time. That includes my own characters too. And I know it's easy to say it because our director's right in front of us, but I don't think I'm blowing smoke up her ass in saying that it is in no small part down to Sabrina's work with us.
Because she lets us develop our characters and give us a space to do that and make us think, which is very tiring.
Barney doesn't like me making him think. No. He gets exhausted.
I will ask Sabrina, how do you think I should do that? So what do you think? No, just tell me.
And what's next for you guys? And this is more directed at Emma and Barney, because I'm already exhausted just contemplating what Sabrina's got in the pipeline for the next few months. So are you involved in anything again soon, or is there any shows coming up that you're interested in auditioning for?
Not particularly, but I will be waiting for the Barn to release their new season, which I think is in May.
May, yep. 12th of May.
But it probably won't be anything else this year.
Yeah, I've been getting that question a lot recently because I'm now about to graduate uni in a few months. So everyone's like, what's next? But I don't quite know. So I've decided I probably need to take a gap for a year to save for a master's. So while I'm doing that, hopefully involved in lots of theatre at the same time, that would be nice to stay involved in stuff.
Okay, Sabrina's like a coiled spring here, so... What's next?
Well, as Barney has said, we're currently planning the new Barn season. So that'll be out in May. And I know what my one is, and it's going to be really exciting, but I'm not going to tell you yet. I am teching the Betty and Joan, which is on at the Barn next. And then I've got my own a couple of things for the Madam Market. I've got Doll's House coming up. I'd quite like to audition for that. And then I'll probably have at least two shows in 2025.
When's Betty and Joan on?
Betty and Joan is on in a end of April.
And of course they've got Amy's View before that, haven't they?
Yes, Amy's View is opening on Thursday.
This week.
Yeah. 29th. Yeah. That opens. And then we'll have Barbed Wire and Teddy Bears, which is our charity performance on just the week after that, which is about four kids in Nazi occupied Jersey. And how kids can stay kids even through war. And that is in aid of the Red Cross Ukraine appeal.
Well, I'm sort of glad you mentioned Barbed Wire and Teddy Bears, as I'd earmarked it to mention in the shout-out section, but you've given it a better description than I would have likely achieved anyway.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I think that nicely covers everything. Thanks a lot for your time, guys, and I'll, see you all in a few minutes at our rehearsal. So there we have it. That was the rather excellent trio of Sabrina Poole, Emma Smith and Barney Matley. Now, if you want to see what we've all been up to, you can catch Pride and Prejudice at the Madam Market Theatre in Norwich between the 19th and 23rd of March with a matinee on the Saturday. Tickets are available via madammarket.co.uk. Now, let's take a look at what else is coming up in the region over the next few weeks. Well, since Sabrina touched upon it in our interview, I'll start with Barbed Wire and Teddy Bears. Sabrina's already offered a decent description of that show, and it's on between the 14th and 16th of March at Sewell Barn Theatre, with tickets available via sewellbarn.org. Playing at three venues in Norfolk is Reflex Theatre, as they bring their touching original and locally inspired play called Call Me John to Dereham, Alsham and Norwich. They'll be performing at Dereham Memorial Hall on the 7th of March, Alsham Town Hall on the 8th, and the Antaros Arts Foundation in Norwich on the 9th of March. Visit reflextheatre.co.uk for more details and tickets. If you're interested in hearing from the show's creator, I had a chat with Callan Durrant back in August last year, and that episode is of course available wherever you get your podcasts. Over in Cambridgeshire, and Peterborough more specifically, you can catch the Peterborough Revellers in action as they present their production of Weird Sisters, which is an adaptation of a Terry Pratchett novel. If you've not come across it before, it's a kind of a Discworld parody of Macbeth. I had the pleasure to be part of a production of Weird Sisters many, many years ago, and I know firsthand how much fun it is, so I can't recommend it highly enough. It's on at the Key Theatre in Peterborough between the 14th and 16th of March, and tickets are available via keytheatre-peterborough.com. And finally, playing at a number of venues across the region is the Crime and Comedy Theatre Company as they tour their production of Sherlock Holmes and the Hound of the Baskervilles. It's a production where many of the all-star cast are united by Doctor Who connections, not least of all Colin Baker, who was the Sixth Doctor, as he steps into the role of the iconic detective this time. He's joined on stage by not only Nicola Bryant, who played his companion in his role as the Doctor, but his daughter, Rosie Baker, who has also played a part in the spin-off series Torchwood. Nicola and Rosie both play the part of Laura Lyons at various points in the tour. The production itself is presented as an on-stage radio play set initially in a recording studio. It's a countrywide tour, but it stops off in East Anglia in March, starting with the Cornhall in Diss on the 16th, the Westcliff Theatre on the 17th of March, the beautiful Goulston Pavilion Theatre on the 20th, the equally beautiful Theatre Royal Bury St Edmunds on the 21st of March, and the not-so-attractive but imposing Key Theatre in Peterborough on the 23rd. You can access links for tickets for all shows on their tour via crimeandcomedytheatrecompany.co.uk. And that, folks, is all I have time for. If you fancy it, give me a follow on the socials. Don't forget to check out my website at eatpod.co.uk for the odd review here and there. But most of all, thanks for listening. Your support is much appreciated. There'll be another episode fairly soon. Can't remember who my guests are, but tune in regardless for more of my nonsense. Until next time. Take care of yourselves and go watch some theatre. Bye.